Seriously, about graduation day, and it's going to apply not only to our graduates, but also to the rest of us here. As we know that part of becoming a graduate, you had mountains of homework, all kinds of essays to write, and different things that you had to go through, long hours of studying, late night cramming for exams, and then there's those tests, right? And we all have the experience. Nobody likes tests. I don't know if you're one of those like, ooh, I just can't wait to take a test. Anybody? No? Some people are, they thrive for that, like filling in circles or something. I don't know. But anyway, it's one thing that we all experience. Tests are a pretty common thing. It's part of, if you know that you've accomplished and acquired the information, that you're ready to move on to the next step and the next test. And so I want to talk to us this morning about tests. And this is something that we all experienced universally. Jesus told us that we're going to have tests. We're going to have trials in this life. In fact, in James 1, 2 through 4, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Let's go ahead and pray real quick. Father, we just thank you for, Lord, your word this morning. I pray for your anointing, God, as I share it, that these words would not be my own, but yours, God, and that you would change our hearts, that you would speak to us, and we would be ready to listen and follow what you share with us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the Bible, this word says to consider it pure joy. I mean, no one likes to experience testing in our life, whether it's academic or just stuff that we go through in our lifetime. It's just not something that we enjoy. But yet the Word of God says that we're to consider it pure joy. Not just consider it good, consider it tolerable, consider it pure joy. To me, that seems a little over the top. And my immediate reaction when I read that is, one of just, I'm looking forward to this, right? Anybody here? It's just not something we like. It says, consider it pure joy, however, to experience testing of our faith and things that we go through in our life. But the problem, or the thing is that it grows us. There's a purpose behind it. And because of that, we can look at it in a little bit different light. Jesus kind of goes on and he explains this. He says, to consider it pure joy. So the first thing we have to look at, the first test that we're going to experience, no matter what we're going through, is the test of perspective. That's what I look at, how we're looking at what we're going through, the circumstance, the situation, the hardship, the trial. It's from our perspective. How do you view it? Do you view it as, oh, this terrible thing has happened to me. I can't wait till it's done. This is just horrible. Or do we view it as something that can help us to grow? Now, our first reaction initially is always the first, is to say, oh, how did this happen? I'm, woe is me. But we have to step back and take a different perspective because the Word tells us to consider it pure joy, okay? Whenever we face trials of many kinds, so it doesn't matter what it is, just consider it pure joy. Something that comes to mind, the example in my life happens often, Kim and I will be driving somewhere. And you've probably been in this situation too. You're driving along and the guy ahead of you or person ahead of you is just kind of poking along and you see the light change to yellow and you're like, come on. And then they go through and it turns red and you have to stop. And I'm like, ugh. And Kim is like, hey, you're first. That's exactly the way I think and look at this. It's a different perspective. Now, maybe there's a little bit of fun at my expense in that. But the idea is there. To say, look at this situation a little differently. You're not, you didn't miss the light. You're the first one to go when it changes. You get to lead the pack. I guess that's another way of looking at it. So it's in that idea that we have a different perspective. It's, it's aggravating sometimes to go through a struggle. It's tiresome. It's something that, we don't enjoy. But Jesus says to consider it pure joy. So I'm going to take a look at that for a minute. Is to consider. It's how we frame it. It's how we look at it. If you have maybe lost your job or had a loved one pass away or maybe a relationship damaged, somebody let you down. I mean, these are all things that we are commonly experience. And how we look at that, how we consider it, it makes all the difference in the outcome. Because there's something there for us. Every time we go through something, whether it's a small hardship, whether it's, you know, a test or some hard lesson to learn, there's something there for us that we're going to grow through into. And so with that, Romans 12:2, here's another scripture that kind of backs this up. Romans 12:11 and 12 says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." So it says to be joyful in hope. I see another theme here. Consider it pure joy. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. I don't like to be afflicted. Do you? And we just came through a big cold and flu season. I felt afflicted a couple of weeks there and coughing and all that. I'm like, I hated that. Now, maybe it caused me to slow down. There's another angle I can look at. So be patient in afflictions. Consider it pure joy. Be joyful in hope. And if we look at that, be joyful in hope, we're focusing on the hope part. Kind of for some of us that need the visual, it's the light at the end of the tunnel. There's something on the other side of this affliction or trouble or testing that I'm going through that's going to benefit me, that's going to cause me to be a better person, a better follower of Christ. And it's important because there are people all around us watching how we respond. They're watching how we interact with these situations in our life because they've tried everything else, or they're trying everything else. And we have the truth. We have the light. We have the hope. We have the promise that God has a plan. He knows a plan for us, not to harm us, but to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. I mean, that's what we carry with us, that message, that light. And people are watching how we respond. And so our perspective is really important in this. And so we have to consider it pure joy. Be patient in affliction. If we have that relationship with Jesus, we have that understanding that God has our back. He's there with us. He sent his Holy Spirit to go and walk through all of these situations with us. We're not alone in this. That should in itself give us hope. That should help us to have a better perspective on the situation. And so as we look at those things that come into our lives, that's the first test. And I know I failed that test a number of times. Things have come in, and I right away looked at how terrible the situation was, and I didn't even think about maybe God is trying to do something through this. Maybe God is trying to teach me a lesson, trying to show me something in my own life via this situation, via the circumstance. And if I'd step back for just a moment and say, God, help me to see this with your eyes. Help me to see this from outside of myself. Because we get really in this bubble of ourselves sometimes, and it's everything is happening to me. And we take it really personal. And why would God do this to me? Well, he's allowing things to happen in our lives so that we would follow him with our whole heart. There's so many instances in the Old Testament where it talks about the different kings and leaders of Israel, and it says, you know, and this one, follow me, but not with their whole heart. They did some of this stuff. And it comes from perspective. They looked at the inward. How does it benefit me? What's important for me? Instead of, what's God doing in me to help me be more of a benefit to his kingdom? And so as we look at this framing and perspective, that's the first test. So when you experience a situation, take that, just go, wait a minute. Pastor Mike said, hold on, back up. Take a look at it. And what could be a different viewpoint of this? Say, God's doing something. Let me trust him and walk forward in this. Not pleasant. You know, they're difficult things. But we're to consider it pure joy. That doesn't mean just say, well, don't worry, be happy. No, it's not like that. Okay. Because some of those things are not pleasant to go through. You know, we've experienced struggles in our family or relationships or our job or finances. They're tough. And God knows that. But in a number of places, as I was preparing for this message, it keeps coming back to consider it joy. Be joyful. Rejoice. I just must do something here. And so our perspective is super important. That's the first test. The second test is the test of perseverance. In James 1:4, it said to let perseverance finish its work. Just kind of bouncing back to the first scripture. It says that, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So that second test is perseverance. Now, perseverance in and of itself is kind of a loaded word. The definition I have up there for you says that perseverance is steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. So this is the dictionary definition of what perseverance means. To be steadfast, in other words, continue steadily toward a goal despite difficulty, despite delay in achieving success. Now this is probably one of the most difficult things for Americans to do, and people in general, but I think in American culture we have kind of boiled our society down to the quickest, fastest, most expedient method of doing everything, and we expect that to be applied to our spiritual life as well. We want the shortcut route. We're upset if we have to hit the 30-second button twice to reheat our food. Come on. Well, you could not have the microwave at all. You could go out and build a little fire and put it on a stick. Anyway, that's our society, though. We've been just ingrained. We want it now. We want it to happen immediately. What's the quickest way I can get this? Amazon overnight prime shipping? Come on. Come on, God. Now. But perseverance. The scripture says to let perseverance finish its work. In other words, I have to let it happen. I have to go through the process. There really isn't a shortcut to it. If we think about our own life, some of us older than others, we've gone through things in our life, and some things, it took time to learn, whether it's education or academic things that we're learning. You just couldn't go in there and go, okay, I got it. Now, some of you, if you have the eidetic memory, great. I wish I had that, but I don't. And you had to learn it. It took time to memorize, to learn, to get that to be part of who you are. And God knows that. We're human. Sometimes we need to just kind of beat over the head with to get that message into us. We have to go through difficult things and pressure and stretching that causes that lesson, that thing to come into our life in reality that we can grab hold of it. So it says, let perseverance finish its work. Don't shortcut it. Don't stop it midway. Don't look for the off-ramp to get out of there. Just let perseverance finish its work. our natural inclination is to bail on it. We want the shortcut. Romans 12:12 says to be rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. So here we are again. Rejoice in hope. Back to that. Patient in tribulation. Tribulation always sounds really much more worse than affliction, I mean, to me. So to be patient in tribulation. This is rough stuff. But we're told to do that, and to be constant in prayer. So you see, it starts out with rejoicing in hope. Again, we're looking toward not at the situation, not at the, you know, all these assignments I have to finish, not at this difficult situation that's in my life, but in hope. Because we are the bearers of hope. Jesus has given us his light, his life, and that is the hope that we have. It's not just right here. This life that we're living, 70 years-ish, 90 years, whatever, is a speck in the realm of eternity. And this is the time that we have to grow and learn and everything that we need to become followers, to be companions of Jesus for eternity. And so this little thing that we're going through right now, light and momentary troubles, right? In light of eternity. And so with this, looking at the hope, look at what God is doing. He's going to bring us through. He's going to grow us. He's going to have that great plan to prosper us, not to harm us. Sometimes we forget that in the midst of the affliction, in the midst of the tribulation, in the midst of trouble. We go, why is this harm coming to my life? No, this is not part of God's plan. He's part to grow you. So that we can have hope, so we can partake in that plan. We, again, have lost that connection with patience and just enduring. And that's part of, I think that's probably one of the biggest parts of this, as well as understanding the perspective of where we're going, is that the perseverance and just maintaining that steadfastness, even if there's a delay. Again, we want that answer right now. But God, sometimes his answer is wait. Sometimes his answer is, it's going to take some time. There's things that, you know, anybody who's dealt with any kind of addictions or life-controlling problems, it sometimes takes time to overcome those as God is working that stuff out of us. And so we need to trust him. The last part there says to be constant in Romans 12. It says to be constant in prayer. And so I think one of the keys to maintaining that proper perspective, so we keep it framed in the right perspective, and also to be able to persevere, is to stay connected to the one who gives us hope. And I can tell you, and I've dealt with students for a number of years, where, you know, in my own life and in their lives, they can say, you know what, I've struggled the hardest when I haven't stayed connected to God, when I haven't stayed in prayer, when I haven't stayed reading my word and, you know, reading that daily devotional, just to kind of stay connected to what God is doing and his purpose and his plan, and I keep seeing his word illuminated in my life, because that gives me hope. So I can go, you know what, yeah, this is a hard thing I'm going through, this is a tough thing, but God has a plan for me, and I can have hope in that. And I can say, God, I need your help. I'm going through this hard time. I need your help. I need your strength. I can't do it on my own. And sometimes that's the point. When we get to that point, that constant in prayer, when we get to that point of saying, God, I can't do it anymore. I can't. And in our weakness, he comes in strong and says, I know. But try to get you to realize that we need him. We need his strength. We can't carry all this. We can't put on this face like everything is fine. God's working in us, all of us. He wants to grow us into followers of Christ that know him, that know his promise, that know his hope, and we can carry that into the world and in our workplace. Again, because you work next to some people who really need to see Jesus working in you. And that means being a little bit vulnerable. That means being a little open with the struggles that we're going through. But on the flip side of that, saying, you know what, but I know God has a plan. I know he's going to work. He's going to help me. And I'm asking for his help daily. Because they're not looking for some fake thing. They want something that's real. That's what we're here to learn. That's the lesson in this. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So this is talking about all circumstances. Bad ones, good ones. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your hard time, in the midst of your testing, to give thanks. Wow, that's not always easy, is it? But if we understand that God has our best interest in mind, he has the best plan possible, no matter how well we could craft out this amazing plan for our lives, he's got a better one. And if we trust him, he'll lead us into that plan. He'll lead us into that place, and he'll grow us. And there's things that have that can't that are part of our life now that can't be in our life to be part of that plan. And God's going to work those things out, sometimes painfully. Sometimes it's stretching. Sometimes it's a struggle. So this persevering idea, there's a lot of this continuing on in rejoicing in the midst of that trouble, in the midst of that struggle. And it takes God's help. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we do not give up. Now, just to the south of me here, as you leave, you'll see there's a plowed up area of ground. That's our community garden. Many of you have staked out an area and started putting in seeds or seedlings, and you're expecting a harvest, okay? And you know that it's going to take from now until when those plants start ripe and there's tomatoes and whatever else you're planting, cucumbers and such, that it's going to take some time for that to grow. And it's not only going to take time, but it's going to take some work. You can't just plant the things and then just go to the beach for the rest of the summer and come down in fall and go, here are my bushel basket, right? Anybody who's done any gardening at all knows that that is going to be totally overgrown with weeds and nothing will, if there might be one tomato buried down in there, I don't know. And that's probably going to be eaten by, you know, rodents or something, but it's just, you've got to put work into it. You got to use a little mower and mow in between the rows, and you got to pick the weeds out, and you got to fertilize, right? And am I lying? This is true, okay? So we have to do this. So the same thing happens in our lives. It takes time. It says to not give up. Don't grow weary in doing good, and you'll reap a harvest in due time. And I think the important part of that is in due season, in due time. It takes time. This perseverance thing in our life is not an overnight, you know, it doesn't happen like that. It's one of those things that we have to continually, daily, hourly, say, God, I need your help. I want to grow. I want to move. I want to be closer to you. That's one of our pillars in our core values, is to grow. Spiritually strong believers. That's who we are as North Point. Because there's a world that needs to see the real Jesus in us, in the midst of our strength, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of trouble, that Jesus comes through every single time, all situations, and we can give thanks to him for that. And so that, as we wait for that to happen, realize that some of those situations and circumstances may not be pleasurable. And I've read this devotional, My Utmost for His Highest. It's by Oswald Chambers. If you've ever read it, if you haven't, there's some great stuff in there. I remember when I was first saved, my mom gave me this book, and I started reading it. It was just like super deep stuff, but it was really good. And, you know, as I grew, I continued to read that on a regular basis. Well, one of them, he was talking about how we want to be used by God. Most of us here, hey, you guys want to be used by God? All the hands that go up, or most of them, okay? And so some are still undecided. But we want to. And so we're like, here am I, send me. And sometimes we're not ready for that. Sometimes God's got to do some more work in our lives. And so I'm going to read this to you. This is his thoughts on that. It says, here am I, send me. This call has nothing to do with personal sanctification, but with being made broken bread and poured out wine. God can never make us wine if we object to the fingers he uses to crush us with. Crush us. If God would only use his own fingers and make me a broken bread and poured out wine in a special way, but he uses someone whom we dislike, or some set of circumstances to which we said we would never submit and make those the crushers. We object. We must never choose the scene of our own martyrdom. If we're ever going to be made into wine, we'll have to be crushed. You cannot drink grapes. Grapes become wine only when they have been squeezed. I wonder what kind of finger and thumb God's been using to squeeze you, and you've been like a marble and escaped. You're not ripe yet, and if God has squeezed you, the wine would have been remarkably bitter. To be sacramental personality means that the elements of the natural life are presenced by God as they are broken providentially in his service. We have to be adjusted into God before we can be broken bread in his hands. Keep right with God and let him do what he likes, and you'll find that he is producing the kind of bread and wine that will benefit his other children. I'm very visual. I totally get that, you know. And that's the grape being so hard, it's not ready to be squeezed into juice or wine, and you push it and it's just like, phew, shoots out, you know. And some of us are like that. We're like, we're so hardened against some things that God wants to do in us. We're like, no, do it this way, God. I'll be fine with that, but not like this. And don't let that person speak into my life. Don't let that situation happen to me. I think my wife would be okay with me sharing this. She's like, okay, what's he going to share this time? But I remember when God first called me into the ministry, we were sitting at dinner at the Yellow Jacket restaurant, which is no longer there anymore, on M45, and sitting across from her, I was talking, and I said, you know, I feel like God has called me into ministry. And she said to me, in no uncertain terms, I will not, never be a pastor's wife. Period. Exclamation point, actually, not a period. And I was like, oh. I kind of thought it would be like, yeah. No, it was not. We weren't ready. We weren't ready at that point. And so God had to do some work. There was things that had to happen. And, you know, well, here we are. And there was another time when she came to me, about 6 months later, I think it was. And so at that point, I said, well, okay, God's either calling both of us or he's calling none of us. I mean, that's the way it is. And so about 6 months later, she said, hey, you better sit down before I change my mind. So there's still some surrendering had to happen, a little bit. She said, but if that's what God's calling us to do, we need to do it. You know, so it was that time that took 6 months. I mean, you know, I could have said, no, we need to make that decision now. Women submit. No, didn't do that. Actually, you know that, you guys know I'm messing with that one. That's not even happening. If you know Kim at all, those words don't even, Nope. So we have to wait until we're ready. And that takes time. That's a process. God's working in us and through us. And so the results of this life of testing is that we become mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know, that's what the scripture says. So that you, the testing of your faith develops perseverance, so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I mean, I know that if I was to look at that, I'm like, nah, I'm still growing. I mean, I'm further along than I was, but I'm still growing. And so it's to be mature and complete, not lacking anything, that we'll be able to handle whatever God gives us, to be able to move forward into whatever plan He opens up, whatever door He opens up. See, the mature Christian, the spiritually strong believer, understands and sees the bigger picture. There's perspective there that understands, you know, God's doing a lot of things in my life and things outside of me that I don't even understand all of the connections. And sometimes you talk to, I remember talking to my grandmother, and she was telling me how these different things that happened in their life. They had one of the sons was killed in an accident. He was in his 20s. And, you know, how could this terrible thing happen? But there is workings that God is doing that we don't even understand the depth and magnitude and the interconnections of relationships that God has His hand on. We can't even comprehend it. But through that tragedy, there's all kinds of things that happen. And His family is serving the Lord today. There's, you know, those connections that happen. If that hadn't happened, who knows? I don't know. I mean, it's a terrible thing to say. He had a relationship with the Lord, but it caused others to examine their own lives and to press them forward in their relationship. And so, you know, as you look at that, and you probably even talk to your families and elders who'd say, yeah, these things happened. They weren't good things, but it caused us to grow, and it helped us to understand how God loved us and He cared for us and He took care of us in the midst of hard times. So once we've been through this testing, we realize we're getting it. We begin to see that maturity happen. We understand that God's doing something in our life and He has a great plan for us. Mature and complete. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. So we understand that God He's going to work it out for us. It may not be pleasant. It may not be easy. It sometimes takes striving and struggling to get there. Any of these students could tell you, they went through a whole bunch of struggling and striving to get to where you are today. There's a lot of work involved, and it took time. And so God's doing the same thing in our lives. And so at the end of it, in the midst of it, we can experience that maturity. We can experience that growth that God wants for our lives. And I want to close with a thought here, too. I realize it's entirely possible that in this room, myself included, there's probably and possibly a lot of us who have got to that testing point and failed. We didn't look at the big perspective. We didn't look at the big picture. We didn't persevere. We kind of bailed halfway through, or tried to create our own solution or our own shortcut, and it didn't turn out well for us. Maybe it turned out mediocre, but that's not God's best. He had so much more planned for us. And I think that to say this, God is not done with us. If we've gone off the rails at some point and we've missed that and we've turned our attention to other things, God is not done with us. He loves us so much more than that. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't say, well, they're too far gone. I'm going to keep going and look for somebody else. No. He goes out after the one when the 99 are back safe. He cares about us that much. And so I want to tell you that, you know, don't think that you've missed it. I blew it back in my 20s, or I was this or that, or I just blew it last week. God still has a plan, and He's willing and able, because you're still here right now. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Say, God, I need your help. I need you to help me in this. And I think about it this way, too. You know, if you've been around, we're getting more and more of these roundabouts. Love them or hate them. I don't particularly care for them. But I guess we're trying to be like Europe in all things. But anyway, so we got these roundabouts, even in the smallest little podunk town. And if you're not sure how they work, that's okay. Nobody else does either. But you basically just get on the thing and you go around until you get to the street you're supposed to get off on. And then you continue. If you miss it, you just keep going around until you get back to the street you're supposed to, and you got lots of options. So pick the right one. But I think in some ways there's a little bit of parallel in what God does in our lives. Because, you know, I know there's times when I've missed this lesson that God was trying to teach me, and I circumvented it or went a different way, and I'm thinking, okay, that's done. No, I'm coming back around to it. God's just like, you know, we still got to go over that. Yep, we do. And then I take the exit, and then I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to go through it. And it's really like that. He's not giving up on us. He didn't let us just keep going around and like, oh, I'll get some, you know. He's waiting. He's patient. And so with that, understand that God has a plan. He wants us to look at that big picture. He wants us to persevere, to even if it's hard. And he wants us to stay connected to him in prayer, to stay connected to his word, because that's going to give us that hope. It's going to help us to see that big picture. It's going to help us to persevere when the going gets tough, when things get hard. Because in the end, once we acknowledge that, you know, God, we can't do it on our own. We need you. He just comes in so powerfully. You're like, why did I try so hard on my own? Let's have the worship team come as we're closing here. You know, why did I try so hard on my own to make this thing happen and force it into, you know, the way I thought it should be? And when I finally surrendered to God, he helped me. And so it's just that you can't even explain it. His grace unending, his mercy, I mean, all of these things. And so this last scripture I want to share with you, 1 Peter 6 through 7, it says, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Praise, glory, and honor. Mature and complete, lacking nothing. And so I just want to close with prayer, and just let's just let the Lord speak to us. Father, we just need you.